Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We are continuing our series on stories, that everyone has a beautiful story, and then there's this story of heaven that God is inviting us into every single day, that we can experience heaven not just later on some magical cloud in the distant future, but that heaven is alive and real. The kingdom of the heavens that Jesus speaks about is radically available if we're willing to see it, if we're willing to step into the divine. And today we're talking about evangelism, right? And when you hear that word, what do you think of? Like, some of you are here and you're like newer to spirituality and you're like, what in the world does that mean, right? Like, evangelism. It's a super churchy word. In churches, we will use words that are called, some people call Christianese, like just like people who follow the Jesus tradition will speak, and like, it's just like insider language. So there's a group of people and they hear evangelism, they hear that. There's a larger group of people when they hear that, they like start checking their watch. They're like, oh, I think my car's on fire. I better get out of here, right? That you don't get warm, fuzzy emotions. You don't like, ooh, warm up with a hot cocoa of evangelism, right? You feel distant. You feel hurt by maybe things that have been done to you in the name of the Lord, or things that maybe you did, right? And then there's a group of people here where you hear the word evangelism and you are elated. You are excited. You are all pumped up because someone at some point decided to share what they call good news. See, we all love good news. There's a guy named Dark Star who wrote for the Star Tribune and was on one of the sports talk radio shows. And he had this voicemail that they play all the time. And it says, if it's good news or money, leave a message. Right? Because we all love good news. Everyone loves good news. And I'd say it's fair to say a lot of us don't mind money either, but like we love good news. And the word evangelism really just means, it literally means the bearer of good news, to bring good news. So why is it that when we talk about evangelism in spirituality or in community or in church or in our families, we all go, ugh. Why is there a gap? And I'll tell you why there's a gap. Because we've done some pretty weird, messed up things in name of bringing good news of Jesus Christ to the people, right? And these are all things I've witnessed. These are all things that I've seen. I remember when I was in high school, there was this shirt that I really wanted. I wanted it bad. And it had like, this is your brain on Jesus. And then the other side, it was like this brain that was happy and smiling. And then one said, this is your brain in hell. It was like on fire. And I'm like, whoa, that will let my friends know that there's a good and beautiful God waiting for them to experience the hope of Jesus Christ for the rest of their life, right? Like, yeah, that's your brain could be in hell. You want to know the Lord, right? I heard people during a parade saying, turn or burn, right? Yelling out to people they've never met before, yelling out, turn or burn. You're like, am I turned to burn like suntanning the opposite side? I have no context of what you're talking about. I remember walking in college downtown Minneapolis. We're on our way to the Final Four, and I walk by, and there's money on the ground. And I look at it, and I'm like, there's no way that's money. Because so many times, they make these things, these little pieces of paper, they call them tracts. Where they talk about Jesus, they talk about what life with Jesus might look like, but they fold it in a way on the outside it looks like money, like a $20 bill. So I, three times, no lie, like I thought I saw money, I'm like, whoa, hey, Joe, my roommate, there's money. We go down and pick it up, and we're like, oh, it's a track, right? And then inside it's like, you thought this is money, but the real value is in the kingdom of God. And it's like, by the point, you don't even care. You're like, I wanted the 20 bucks, right? So I walk by that money thinking it's a track, and I stop and I go back one more time thinking this is going to be the fourth time. I pick it up and it wasn't $20. It was four $20 bills. Yeah. So I don't know why I shared that story. But honestly, and here's the thing. There is no better news than that God is a huge fan of you. That wherever you're at, we talked just a couple weeks ago that it's in our nothingness, it's in our loserness, it's in our what we called our 5 p.m.-ness, where everyone else gets picked, and Jesus still says, but you have value, and I choose you. In the midst of this story, if it's a story of beauty, a story of hope, or it's a story of darkness, it's a story of pain, like we heard Anna McParland last week, if you weren't here and you get a chance to listen to it, you can podcast it on cloquetvineyard.org. It is amazing. I'm pretty sure everyone was pretending they weren't crying. That's, I think, how the whole room, like, they're like, I'm not crying at that story. It was beautiful. There's this amazing story, and God has this hope, and it's such good news. I mean, even today, there's a lady in our church who, she came up, and we prayed for her about her eyes. And God, like, totally healed her eyes. She doesn't need her glasses anymore. There's stories of people who have come into life with Jesus for the very first time. There's a lot of people who said, you know, it's been so long. I went through these hard things, and I want to come to know Jesus. We've had over 47 people just this year come into life with Jesus for the very first time. That is an amazing, beautiful thing. If it's so beautiful, if it's such a good news, why is there a gap where it feels like we can't talk about it? Right? Because there's two things that you know you're never supposed to talk about. You don't talk about, like, at family functions at work. You don't talk about religion. And you don't talk about how LeBron James is way better than Michael Jordan. Right? Those are the two things we all know you don't bring up. But why is it? Like, why does it feel so hard? Why does it feel so difficult? Why does it feel so foreign for a lot of us? Maybe not for all of us. Just to talk about Jesus. Talk about this Jesus that we know. And the reason that there's a gap is that in the church, in evangelicalism, right, there is this gap of us versus them. And I talk about this often because it's so easy to fall into this trap of us versus them. Us versus them evangelism strategies is we're right, and them, they are wrong. And if we're right and they're wrong, then our goal is just to do whatever it takes to get them in our secret club. Get in the club. And we don't care if it's bait and switch, because those, like, money tracks is bait and switch. Like, hey, you want some money? Just kidding. You want Jesus? Right? We do this all the time. And if we think that it's like us four no more, and we have our little holy huddle, like, look how right you are. I'm right. You're right. Right? And we use appropriate Christian swear words, right? Like heck and, you know, like gosh. But, you know, but they use the swear words we can't use, but we can use ours. And if they just change their swear words, if they just change how they use their body, if they just change what they drink and where they consume it, well, then you can be in our club. It's us versus them. And if you look at the Bible, friends, if you look at the life of Jesus, you look at, we're going to read here in a little bit, what Paul wrote, there is no us versus them. Now here, let me tell you right away, I believe that we are to pursue holiness. The Bible speaks very clearly that there's things that we can say yes to. There's things that we should pursue to be a Jesus-looking person. That there's a way of doing life that brings freedom and hope and beauty. But when all of a sudden we kind of put the way we do things as the right way and then those are the wrong, we're in, you're out. What we're going to read here, Paul's saying, you missed it. You absolutely missed it. So this word evangelism, bringing good news, doesn't have to be this trick. It doesn't have to be this, man, have you ever felt this before where you feel like you have to be something better than you really are, especially in your spirituality, where you feel like, okay, I'm going to go to work and I want people to, like, really love Jesus because I love Jesus. And so I have to be happy all the time, or I have to use, like, my, hey, brother, how are you doing today? Praise the Lord. He is good, right? Like, honestly, I was even thinking about this. Like, there's things that we use that are, like, words we use that are actually really good, right? Where you, people, like, there's on the license plate, it says, let go and let God. Like, that is a very true thing. Even John says, he looks at Jesus, he goes, he has to ascend and I need to descend. More of God, less of me. That's powerful. But when we play this us versus them, I'm in, you're out, and I have to try tricking you to come in, or I have to be something better than I really am in order to entice you to something that's not even really true, or not true, but that's not even really attainable, that's not even real life, it's not even really who I am. Then we play the, you gotta let go and let God, you just gotta do it, he's got the wheel, right? Jesus, take the wheel, right? Because in real life, if you said that to your friends and they said, okay, so how do I let go of my kid dying of cancer? Do I just let go and let God? How do I just let go of them underwater my mortgage and I'm afraid of talking about it with my family? Oh, I just gotta let go of this lifelong addiction I had and just let God because, you know, just this magic trick he'll do and fix me, right? When it comes to real life, sometimes the words even that I use all the time and live by, good and beautiful, can feel pretty cheesy, right? And say, there's a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for you, right? And you might be walking through someone saying, what is so good and beautiful about a God that feels distant to me right now? What's so good, what kind of good and beautiful God do we have that they had, what, over 25 people murdered in Egypt for just being Jesus-looking people? Where was the good and beautiful God there, Chris? So there's evangelism, this good news, does not have to be tricking people into something. It's not just figuring out all these, like, how we have to argue all the points. Like, if you're here and you're following Jesus, how did you come to know Jesus? For me, it was my mom, when I was a kid, talked to me and showed me. She didn't just talk to me, she showed me what a Jesus-looking person looks like. Might have been a friend. It might have been a family member. It might have been when you're in college. It might have been when you had kids. It might have been for a lot of people where they come into the end of their rope. They hit this life-altering place in their life, and they get desperate. They get desperate. What do? Saying, I need help. What a beautiful place to be. See, what Paul says is this. Paul says, it's not us versus them. And I love this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5:14, and we only have a couple of verses up there, but I'm going to read the whole thing because it's good. If you have Bibles, you can open them up, or we have Bibles in the back table that at any point you can grab, and you may keep them as well. This is what Paul says. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. So what Paul is saying here is everything we're going to be doing is based on this. This is like what the ground we stand on, and he's talking about how we have life with Jesus. And how do we invite people into that life with Jesus? Is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we do not evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once, and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with Messiah gets a fresh start, and he is created new. The old life is gone, and a new life begins. Just look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the word square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. And how, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be right with God. What a powerful couple of sentences. He's saying, this is where we live. Where we operate as followers of Jesus. He is speaking to the church. He's speaking to followers of Jesus here. He's saying, this is where we start. One man died for everybody, and we are all in the same boat. If you're, quote unquote, in the club or you're out of the club, Paul's saying, really, there's only one club, humanity. And it's not us versus them, it's us. And it's either we're all the us or we're all the them, but there's no two different groups. And if this is true, if one man died for all people so that we could step into this resurrection life. Now, let me be fair. Some of you might be thinking, well, what are you saying, Chris? Does that mean everyone just goes to heaven and that's how? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that one man has already done all the work. Love wins. The story has been written. This dream of a good and beautiful life doesn't have to be that cheesy like slogan. It means it is within reach. Jesus already set the table. Will you sit down and dine? Will you eat? And you don't need this special code word. You don't need to dress the right way. You don't have to have everything in your story perfect to be able to receive. We're all at the table already. And Jesus is saying, you can dine with me. So if this is true, that really that one man has died for all people already, then it changes the way how we see this evangelism, of how we bring the good news. Because traditionally, people think of missions, like we're going to Puerto Rico, right? Puerto Rico? Yes. Yeah. Yeah? Someone look at me. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm the best pastor in the whole world. All right, so traditionally, people think of evangelism missions is like, all right, we got Jesus. All right, Jesus, you come with me. And you like lump them up out of that box. And you're like, all right, Jesus, we got to go over to these godless people over here. They don't know anything about you. And then you can like send like, all right, here you go, friends. This is my friend Jesus, right? So come in and get right. All right, all you sinners, here's Jesus, right? And that's traditionally how people think about it. But if what the Bible says is true, if this is actually true, the way it changes everything is our job isn't to bring this Jesus from one place of where we feel we are right, from our rightness, and say, all right, come over here to your wrongness. What we do is that we can, if we're all in the same boat, we can just move over to the boat and sit with someone and point out how God has already been there, how heaven is all around him, how there is beauty and creativity and hope and life and this vitality of this beautiful kingdom song that is everywhere all around them all the time. Our job as Jesus-looking people is to sit with them and point out where Jesus already is. And the difference between the two is so radically different. I remember sitting at this table with some other, this was right when I first started doing ministry, and I was with one of my mentors, and we're sitting at this table with some other churches, and this lady leaned over to, his name's Michael, and she said, you know what, I can't wait till we can take this city for Jesus. And he looked at me, and he looked at me, he was like, I didn't know that like Jesus needed to, like, we have to like go and take this city from where? From what? Like, Jesus is already here. He's all around us. See, there's this opportunity. There's an opportunity just to share life with people. How we can bring good news is that you can be the good news. Like, do you see heaven around you? Do you see beautiful things in your life? Can you point out just from this past weekend, like yesterday, it was a beautiful, beautiful day. And I got to go do this annual tradition I do where I go and beat all my friends in golf every time we play. It's an amazing thing, all right? That's heaven playing itself out in my golf swing. And then, but honestly, like with the sun shining on my back, and I got to go weed my garden yesterday, got to play basketball with my son. My wife and I, like, read books on the deck late at night. Like, that's we really read books. That's not anything else, right? So we... That's heaven. What evangelism looks like, bringing good news, is like having the late night talks in the garage with your neighbor. It's sitting on the back deck at the graduation party, crushing ham sandwiches and encouraging that young woman what it looks like to have a good and beautiful life. It's those hard conversations with your boss. It's pointing out with someone in their financial troubles and saying, why don't you come over and see how what it looks like to make a budget? It's everyday opportunities where heaven is intersecting, the divine is intersecting with humanity. And what we get to do is we just get to share it. We had our newcomers class last week, and it was awesome. This one of the ladies shared this story how they go to this retirement community, and they were having fun, they're meeting people, and her and her husband met this other couple, and they were just happy all the time. Happy, and they asked him finally, just said, why are you so happy? Like, really? Like, I think that's a normal thing. A lot of us are suspicious of really happy people. Like, what are you doing? Right? What are you on? Either onto something, or you're on something. And so they asked, and they like lit up, and they said, you're the first people, in all these years that have ever asked us that. And it was, we have this life with Jesus. We've met the divine. We've stepped into this beautiful thing of a Jesus-looking life. What a beautiful story. I love that story. That's, to me, what evangelism is. It's getting to know your neighbors. It's willing to have, like, the end in mind of, I'm going to build relationship, not to, like bait and switch something. Like, not I'm just going to be friends with my neighbor just so I can, like, get him to church. No, I want to be friends with the neighbor because I want to add value everywhere I go. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Wherever he went, he added value. He challenged people. So here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you hang out with your friends, and when they laugh, you say, ha ha, you're laughing, and that's heaven, because God loves laughter too. There, that's heaven. Laugh more, heaven, right? I'm not saying just like, just go let people do whatever they want and just be happy and smile and say, do whatever you want. No. See, Jesus walked this tension of what evangelism, man, even saying that word just feels like there's still that gap, right? The way he spread, the way he talked about good news, the way he talked about heaven, the way he talked about kingdom, is Jesus was willing to be with the people. He didn't just walk around and say, all right, all you people, follow me. Let's hurry it up. Let's go. I got to go on this cross thing soon. He was willing to sit at the dance. He was willing to be at the event. He was at the table. He learned names. He knew their stories. But he always, always, always added value. And the way he added value was different. He would tell people, like, go and sin no more. That's a hard challenge. The way he walked up to Nicodemus, who was like this shorter guy, he couldn't see, so he climbed up this tree, and Jesus walked down, and he says, hey, Nicodemus, well, let's go to Gordy's, because we're going to eat tonight, and I get to be with you, but not until you come to me, and you cry for the things that you've done, how selfish you are, and how you have all this, like, hoarding all these people's money. If you confess your sins, and you cry, but it's not fake tears, but real tears, so I know you mean it, then maybe you'll get onion rings. Right? What did Jesus do? He looked at the reject. He looked at someone in their nothingness. Someone who people just pretended to be their friends so they have a little bit more advantage in dealing with him when it came to their taxes. And what does he say? He goes, tonight, my friend, I'm coming to your house. That's evangelism. There's not all these walls. There's not all these hard lines that we built. And Jesus walked this tension beautifully. And everything he did was rooted out of love. It's out of the context of love. Not us versus them thinking is right versus wrong. It's not about love. It's about let me tell you how wrong you are and how right I am. That's why we have these on stage, loving God and loving people, because Jesus says this is who we are. As Jesus-looking people, we live in love. The more that we love God, it transforms our life, transforms our heart, or even the way that the decisions, how we spend our money, how we invest our money, that we want to be in businesses that actually, like, take care of the earth, that they actually, like, are invested in the quality of life of the people. Like he's saying, the more you love God, it changes who you are. Funny. You love people. And the more you love people, the more you engage with people, you see this Jesus-looking people. You see heaven all around. And funny how that points you back to loving God more. And it's this circle over and over and over again. And we see this in Luke 15. And this is where I end. Luke 15, there's all these religious insiders. And they see Jesus around this table with a riffraff of society. And they use all different kinds of words. Outsiders, addicts. The rejects of society, and they're kind of saying in Chris Sauter's own language, interpretation of the Bible, which is fairly dangerous, they're like, hey, Jesus, really? Those people are going to be in? If I'm in, those people are definitely not in. So why are you spending time with them? Because clearly they're out. That is exactly, they're using inside-out language. And Jesus answers them to their accusations, to their, well, who do you think you are, Jesus? He answers them with, imagine this, a story. He tells three stories. He tells a story about a shepherd who loses one of his sheep, and he runs off and finds them and brings them back. Tells a story about a woman who loses a coin. And the coin just wasn't like a nickel, right? And like, oh, my nickel, where is it? The coin was a representation of the woman's vitality, of how she had so much value and worth. It'd be like getting all dressed up to go out, and you have like that one dress, you have that one thing that just makes you pop and makes you shine. And what, the coin was one of them, like on a necklace. She loses it, and she finds it. And then the story of the what they call the prodigal son in the Bible, about a son who tells his dad, hey, this is a good gig, but I want my inheritance money, even though you're not dead. And he lives his life. The dad lets him go, lives his life, is living it up, living large, then falls totally flat on his face. He has nothing, and he decides, I'm going to go home, I'm going to repent, I'm going to confess to my father, and I hope I can just at least be a servant. And then they throw what? The dad sees him, runs him, throws this big party. The three things, remember the context of the story. Context of the story is Jesus, why would you want to spend time with them if they're out? You should be with us because we're in. You got it backwards, Jesus. Jesus tells three stories of things that were lost and they are found and they what? Celebrate. They find the sheep and they celebrate. They find the coin. She invites all her friends over and they celebrate. The son comes home and they throw a huge party. The crux of this, all three of these stories are connected. The crux of it is not just that we have a good God who's like that father where we can come to him at any point. That is absolutely true. It's not just a story about like how parenting 101, if your kid asks for your inheritance, always say yes, right? And just trust he's going to come back and we'll kill the fat cow, right? That's... It's so much more. The crux of it is at the very end of the story. Because where the story wraps up is the dad looks around and he's got his son who he thought was dead is now his home. And they have this big party. Music's going, right? And it's the party of the year. And then he looks around at his other son. His son is not here. He goes out and he finds his son and he says, son, where are you at? And the son says, dad. You throw this party for him? You like threw the robe on, you give him all these things. You know what he did? He's wrong. I'm the one who stayed. I'm the one who did everything right. I'm the one who today woke up and fed the animals. I'm the one who went and talked to crazy Aunt Edna. No one talks to Edna except me. I am right. He's wrong. But he gets the party, Dad. You ever felt that way before? Why does he get the party? And his dad says, son, can you not hear the music? Your brother was gone. He was dead. And he came home. You're missing out, son. There is this energy. There is this vibe. There is this scene. There is this unbelievable place of celebration, and you are outside of it. Why can't you see the party? What happens to so many people in the Jesus tradition is that we can make these hard lines. And let me say this, because you want to be clear. There is lines in the Bible. There absolutely is. There's things that God invites us to refrain from, but he spends way more time inviting us what to like enter into. So I'm not saying there is no lines, but we can draw so many other hard lines. We can build up so many walls to tell people how right we are, to make sure that we're okay, that we just keep moving away from the party, away from the party. And all of a sudden we can't smell the fatted calf and the barbecue, and all of a sudden we can't see and hear the laughter, and now we can't hear the ns. And all we hear and all we see is this lonely place of how right we are. And what Jesus says, when the people who are in look at Jesus sitting with who they deemed out, Jesus saying, I'm always going to be in the dance. I'm sorry, I'm always going to be in the dance. And at that dance, I'm going to celebrate with people because all around in every single life, John 5:16, my Father is always at work and to this day is very working. Every single moment, heaven is writing the story for Danny. Heaven is writing this story for my neighbor. Heaven is writing this story for you, and I want to be there with you to point it out and to celebrate it when you see it. And when you experience that good and beautiful God, and you experience hope, maybe even just for a moment, I'm at the table, I'm at the dance, and we get to celebrate together. Friends, this is who I want to be. As your friend, as your leader, as your pastor, I can tell you this. I want to be in the dance. Is there going to be times in this dance? Me, and by the dance, I'm going to be in culture and being around people and celebrating with people and hearing the stories and knowing their names. Is there going to be times where you're going to hear me, like, on stage say something that might offend you? Yeah, you probably already have. Am I going to get it right? Probably not. I'm probably going to make some mistakes. And I'm going to have to make some adjustments as a church and our leadership team and our vision and how we spend our time and how we spend our money and the words we use. Like, here's what I'm telling you. I want to be in the dance. I want to know people. I want to hear the story. You know, there's from the census, there's over 17,000 people who said that they're outside of life with Jesus. I want to know their names. I don't want to go out and say, I'm going to go get all these converts. You know what I'm going to do? I want to go love. Like what Paul says, that you're missing out on this resurrection life. There's a whole brand new life that can bring beauty and hope and joy. That's the dance I want to be in. Can you hear the music, friends? And all Jesus asking us to do is share life. And when heaven points out, when heaven breaks open, being with your friends and saying, right there. There's this gentleman in our church who doesn't even know I'm telling this story, but the way that I see him, there's this young man who just recently got married, and he came into life with Jesus, and there's these two friends that have been together for a very, very, very long time, have taken this young man under their wing, where they teach him, like, hey, we're going to help rebuild your deck, this little porch. We're going to help you. This is what it looks like to show up to work. This is what it looks like of how you save money. This is how you take your wife out on a date. This guy didn't have the context of what real life looks like. That, my friends, is evangelism. It's not just getting people to say this magical prayer. It's not getting to say these five words, and then you just, okay, if you're in the club, let's go get someone else. It's about having the end in mind. What does it look like to know and love and dance with Jesus from the very beginning to the very end? And that's the church, friends. That's what we do. Here's one thing that I would encourage you to do. How many words is it? I think it's two, maybe three. I'll probably say it a couple different times, right? But here's one thing you can say. One thing you can say is this: come with me. If you want to change a life, if you want people, what Paul says is they're in this resurrection life. And at the very end of it, he says, how do you ask? It's in Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be right with God. Here's how you do that. Come with me. It might be, hey, come with me. I already said this. Come with me and I'll teach you what a budget looks like. Hey, come have dinner with my family. See that, like, the way we live our life here is the same we live it here. Hey, come with me to small group. Hey, come with me to get those onion rings. Right? I'm thinking about onion rings now, right? Come with me, might be to actually this church. Come with me to this event. Come with me to this party. Come with me on this long trip. Come with me to celebrate the 4th of July. Come with me to the parade. When you have that simple invitation, you have opportunities, you have place to share life and point out heaven. All right, so here's what I'd like to do. In a little bit, I'm going to have you stand. And when you stand, the reason we have you stand, just if you're newer here, this might be, you're like, why are we standing, right? The reason we have you stand is so that we can transition into time where we can connect with Jesus or pray to God. And we believe when we pray to God that it's not just us talking to the skies and somewhere I hope it lands on these holy ears. We believe that God's right here with us. Heaven's here right now. And there's some people here, this whole idea of a Jesus-looking life, something maybe you've never really entered into for all different kinds of reasons. You feel like you've never said yes to Jesus, where you say, okay, you get to be God, you get to be the king, you get to be Lord, you get all of it. I want to be a part of your story. A little bit, I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm not going to make you, like, raise your hand. I'm not going to make you, like, run around, right? I'm not going to make you come up on stage. And here's all my deepest, darker secrets. All right, I'm not doing that. It's something between you and God. And if you're here, and you are in life with Jesus already, but you just feel really stuck. And I ask the question, do you see heaven? You're like, nope, not me. You can receive that as well. And also if you're here and you'd love to be able to point heaven out, you'd love to really bring good news to people, You just don't know how, you don't know where to start? Well, a great place to start is ask God. So why don't you stand? Let's pray. So as I pray, I encourage you to, if you'd like, you don't have to, close your eyes. And close our eyes just so we can put all of our focus, all of our energy on seeing and hearing and responding to God. Let's pray. So Jesus, I thank you that what Paul wrote is true. One man died for all. That you took all the wrong, all the hot mess, all the brokenness, like that shadow side to ourselves, you've taken all of it and wrapped it up in you. Thank you. And you did it out of love. Not the angry God, don't make me come down there kind of moments. You did it out of wanting us to thrive. So will you come? And I pray for my friends. Pray for my friends who are like, we're all in that same boat. I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never said, God, you get absolutely everything. I ask God right now that you would come. And we just say yes to you. We say yes that you came to this life and you told us about heaven. You invite us into this beautiful life and you took all of it on the cross. And 3 days later, you shattered everything. You changed everything. With heaven here, with your Holy Spirit here, your kingdom here, and we swim in that, Jesus. We walk in that, and we say, and we receive it, and we show us what it looks like to love you and love people every single day. And I pray for my friends who are like, just feel stuck. They feel like, I can't see heaven, I can't see beauty. Yeah, even just feel like the story that you hear is you're just a mess. Failure, 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 failure. That's a lie. That is absolutely a lie. God is crazy about you. So I ask that even today, as we're at picnics, we're at parties, as we are sharing life or around tables, will you help us see heaven today? And lastly, help us share that story. Help us bring good news to people in a way where we share life with one another, in a way that is true to who you are, God. Help us to stay in the dance. Use us. Use us. We love you. Amen. So we're going to have some people come up. They're on our ministry team. And if you would like prayer for anything, like we prayed for that lady with her eyes, and we believe that God heals physically, emotionally, spiritually, like all of it. If there's anything you want prayer for, these people would love the chance to learn your name, hear a little bit of your story, and then ask heaven to show up. And specifically, if you're here and you're one of those people that you feel like you just stepped into a relationship with Jesus, we have something that we'd love to encourage you and celebrate with you and give you something to help set you up for success. Or you're here and you feel stuck. I don't know about you, but when I feel stuck, sometimes I just need a team. I need a friend. And these people would love to be your team to encourage you. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend and enjoy yourself.